You know, the point to me that got across to me when I was watching that is that a lot of times the way we see things don't really mesh with reality. In fact, you know, you've probably seen those pictures before that you can see one thing and somebody else can see something completely different. You ever seen those? I've got one here. Go ahead and bring it up. And this is a picture of something. It's actually, you may see something different than me, but I'm just curious. I'm going to do a poll here. How many of you, when you look at that picture, you see a vase? Raise your hand. You're seeing a vase, a black vase. How many of you guys see two men looking at each other face to face? Yeah. Depending on how you look at that and how you view it, it could be two completely different things. It could either be a vase, or it could be two men that are looking at each other face to face. And the way I want to apply that is this. In the same way, I wonder how we view ourselves as parents and how our children look at us. I wonder if it's the same. What do they see when they look at us? That's very important, because what our children actually see is going to greatly impact their life. Not what we think they see. What they actually see is going to impact their life greatly. Of course, dads in here today, it's Father's Day. And ultimately, we want our kids to see Christ in our lives. Of course, like that video said, we got to be there and be a daily presence in their life for them to see anything at all. But we want them to see Christ in our lives. We want them to see Christ's love. We want them to see Christ's character. We want to impact their lives from Christ in us. And the good news is this, is that we can change how our kids view us. You say, why? Because we can change. You see, every single morning that I wake up, it's like that song, you know, change my heart, oh God. And we can change because every day is a new opportunity. Every day, Dan Proctor, when I wake up, I choose my attitudes for that day. I choose my priorities. I choose my actions. I choose my words. Nobody chooses that stuff for me. Nobody makes me say what I say. Nobody makes me do what I do. I choose my actions, my attitudes, my words, my priorities. I choose those every single day. And so it's never too late to change. Even if our kids are grown and gone. You know, and I got one son grown and gone out of the house. They just celebrated. I've got a son that just celebrated 5 years of marriage with his wife Friday. They celebrated 5 years. And so I've got one grown and gone. I still got two, you know, that are at home. But it doesn't matter. It's never too late to change. You know, in Luke chapter 8, I want you to turn over there to Luke chapter 8. And if you if you're going to use the Bible there in under your seat, please feel free to do so. That's what it's there for. And go to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to grab a, no, I'm not going to grab a handout. I don't see one. Is there a handout over there? Are we out of handouts? Thank you. Everybody, I'd like for you to meet my mother-in-law right here, watching out for me. Amen. Thank you. I got it. Oh, give me another one. Look at here. Doug's going to take care of you. All right. Good. But, I had one. I don't know where mine went, but I had one in the 9:45 service. But yeah, if you look at your handout there, Luke chapter 8, we always put the page number at the top of the handout. The church Bible page number is 1069. Go to Luke chapter 8, and that's where we're going to be this morning. There's a little 12-year-old girl that dies, and she's brought back to life by Jesus Christ. But it was the little girl's dad that intervened and that made such an incredible difference in her life. Guys, I want us to listen on purpose. God, if you're a man today, I'm serious. This is mainly for the men. I'm just being honest with you. Guys, this is our day, man. This is Father's Day. It's a day when we can step it up right here. And guys, I want you to listen closely to me today. Ladies, look, you don't get the Sunday off, ladies, all right? So don't go to sleep on me out there. Everything that I say, I believe will apply to both sets of parents, and I believe it'll apply to ladies too. You can definitely take what I'm going to say and apply it to your life. And it doesn't matter your age today. This doesn't matter. This stuff I'm going to give you is going to apply to all of us across the board, but I really want to talk to dads. And I really want dads to listen up very closely. I don't care how old your kids are. I want you to listen very closely to what I have to say today, because we are going to learn from a dad here that was really a remarkable dad. Ordinary guy like me and you, but he had some remarkable character traits. I want you to look with me at verse 41, all right? Verse number 41, Luke 8, 41. I want to read you the story of what happens here. Verse 41, it says, "Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." So Jesus is on his way to the guy's house to go see the little 12-year-old girl, and people are thronging him. He gets in conversations with people. So while he's trying to get to the guy's house, skip down to verse 49. Let's see what happens. Verse 49. It says, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him," to Jesus, "thy daughter is dead." Actually, he's talking to the dad. "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." She's died. She's dead. Forget it. Verse 50. "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept, and they bewailed her. But he said, weep not, for she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and he took her by the hand, and he called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, immediately. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done." When this little girl opens up her eyes, she sees dad hovering over her. And she saw her dad in a different light than she had ever seen him before. Why? Because her dad had met Jesus. Dads, I want us to learn from this dad today. What do we want our kids to see in us when they look at us? Well, I think there's several things we learn from this dad. Number one is this. When our kids look at us, we want them to see men of prayer. I want you to write that in your handout. We want them to see men of prayer. The Bible says that this man went to Jesus and he besought him that he would come to his house. Now, guys, I want you to put yourself in this man's shoes. I want you to imagine what a tough decision this was for this dad. Do I leave my daughter that's dying and maybe miss those last few minutes with her on this earth? Or do I leave my little girl's bedside and do I go and try to seek after Christ? Thankfully, this dad decided that he would seek Jesus. And the Bible says he besought. Once he found him, he besought Jesus. That word besought is a very strong word, and it means to plead. It means to beg. To beg. Can you imagine that? He comes, he beseeches Jesus. It's kind of like the difference between you saying to me, you say, "Pastor Dan, man, listen, I want you to come by my house sometime, and we're going to make a pot of coffee, and man, we're going to sit around and visit." Versus you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you say, "Pastor Dan, we need you to come to our house right now. We need you now, Pastor. Hurry, please, now, please come right away." That's the idea of this word besought when it said he besought Jesus. This dad went to Jesus and he pleaded for his daughter. Not for himself, he was pleading for her. That, you know what that's called? We learned it on Mother's Day, right? That's called intercessory prayer. He went to Jesus on her behalf, in her stead. The little girl couldn't go to Jesus. She was laying, dying in bed. So he goes in her place. He goes in her stead. That's intercessory prayer. He is standing before the Lord on her behalf. And without this dad's intercessory prayers to Jesus, this little girl dies. Thankfully, you know, this man said, "No, I'm going to seek after Jesus. And he leaves that bedside. Imagine this being the bed. He leaves that bedside and goes and beseeches Jesus to help. Thank God for dads who intercede in prayer to Jesus for their kids. I believe that the greatest thing that you could ever do for your child, I don't care what their age is. I don't care if your kid is 5 or if your kid is 50. I had someone tell me after the service at 9:45, I was talking to a lady that came to church for the first time. She said, man, I really enjoyed the service. She was in the 9:45. And she said, my son's 59. She said, but he's still my baby. And she said, you know, he just tells me, well, Mom, just don't call me that when we're around other people, all right? 59, still her baby. It doesn't matter if your kid's 5, 50, 60, doesn't matter. Listen, every single day, we all get 24 hours a day. We all get the same amount of time. And what I would encourage you is there's 24 hours in every day. Carve out some time every day out of that 24 that you're given. Carve out some time to pray for your kids. I'm talking about interceding for them in prayer. I'm talking about getting before God and getting a hold of him and beseeching him to do something in your son's life. Do something in your daughter's life. The Bible says it's in your handout, James 5:16. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. What's the last two words there? Availeth much. You know what that means? It accomplishes a lot. And man, we get so messed up, don't we? We think I got this to do, I got that to do. I'm a busy man, I'm a busy woman, and I got things to do and places to go, and I don't have time to just pray. And yet the Bible says that when you pray fervently to the Lord, it accomplishes much. You may not realize it. There may not be instant something that you see, but yet there is some mighty power that's being built up and some mighty power that's coming before God. When you pray to him, some incredible things begin to take place. You get God involved in that situation in your child's life when you pray. He says it accomplishes much. When this little girl opened up her eyes from death, she looked up and you know there was Dad hovering over this little girl. And she opens up her eyes, and she'd been dead. She opens up her eyes, and there's Dad, and he's grinning from ear to ear, and he's got tears just running down his cheeks. And I'm sure that little girl, that little 12-year-old girl, found out later, it was my dad that went and interceded to Jesus to give me life. My dad did that for me. When our kids look at us, may they see men of prayer. Men of prayer. We're going to carve out time every day to pray for our kids. I feel like that video, I could help 10 people tomorrow in the ministry. But if I don't intercede in prayer, if I miss an opportunity to pray for my kids tomorrow, I feel like the day's been a failure. I really do. I really do. I'm not just saying that. I really do. I feel like if I miss a day interceding for my kids, I feel like I've been a failure that day. No matter how many other people I've helped, because God's called me to do that. I've got to pray and intercede for my kids. It's like we said on Mother's Day, if I don't pray for my kids, who's going to do it? Who's going to love my kid like I do? Who's going to carve out time to pray for my kid faithfully if I don't? It's important. Would y'all agree? Amen? That's important. Number two, the second thing we want our kids to see when they look at us is men of humility. When our kids look at us, we want them to see men of humility. Two things really stood out to me. Go to verse 41. All right, everybody, look back at verse 41. Two things hit me. Look at this. It says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. What was he? He was a what? A ruler. But then look what it says. And he fell down at Jesus' feet. Let's review. He was a what? A ruler. What did he do? He what? Fell down. He fell down. Humility, right? I mean, this guy's a ruler. This little girl's dad was someone in the community. Many people in the community probably thought of him as a very powerful man. I'm sure that maybe people thought he was a great man. I'm sure he was a man to be respected and to be admired by his peers, by the followers there of that local religion. He was in charge of the local religion. He was the ruler of the synagogue. He was used to giving orders and people just obeying and doing what he said to do. But yet this powerful man comes and he falls down at the feet of Jesus. And he just humbles himself before the master. He humbles himself before Jesus. Why would he humble himself that way? It wasn't for himself. He was doing it for his little girl. He was doing it for his daughter. And dads, when our kids look at us, do they see humility? Do they see men who will humble ourselves to know Christ? Men who will humble ourselves to keep our marriages together? Men who will humble ourselves to save our home? Men who will humble themselves to keep the family intact? Men who will humble themselves and admit when they're wrong? Men who will humble themselves in prayer and seek prayer to seek God, to seek his help and say, God, I need you. In your handout, it says, if we want to be great dads, the path to greatness is humility and servanthood. I'm telling you flat out, that is the path to greatness. You want to be a great dad? The path to greatness is humility and servanthood. Look in your handout, Matthew 23:11, church. Look at this verse. This is Jesus speaking. And in Matthew 23:11, look at it with me. It says, Jesus said, he that is greatest among you shall be your what, church? Servant. Look at the next verse. Whosoever shall exalt himself. You're going to lift up yourself. You think you're man. You think you're hot. He says, you exalt yourself. You shall be what? Abased. He that humbles himself shall be what? Exalted. You know what pride brings? The Bible says pride brings contention. Whenever there's contention in a relationship, there's pride. Guaranteed. There's pride somewhere. We may dig a little bit to find out where it's at, but there is pride somewhere. When there's contention, there's pride. And when we humble ourselves, what happens is, when we get rid of the pride, and we're like, man, I just want to make things right with my kid. I just want to make things right with my wife, my husband. I want to make things right with my parents. I just want to make things right with that coworker. I just want to make things right with that sister, that brother. And when we humble ourselves, the result is healing. And the result is exaltation. What happened with this little girl? This man humbles himself. The result was healing. And the Bible says she was lifted up. That's the result of humility, healing, and exaltation. Pride, Proverbs says, brings contention. When our kids look at us, may they see men of humility, men who will humble themselves. Many times, I mean many, many times, I've had to tell my kids, hey, you know what? Dad was wrong. I've had to tell Denise, I was wrong. You know what? That's not as painful as some people think to say that. They're just words, but when you mean them, they're very powerful. I was wrong. Let's all say it. Let's practice. Ready? I was wrong. Say it. I was wrong. Now, it didn't hurt, did it? Did that hurt? Some of you are like, oh, I'm sick. I got to go home. That's not hard to say, is it? But you know what? It's important. How many of us are wrong in our lives from time to time, huh? Every one of us. And you know what? Pride says, I'm not telling him I was wrong because he was wrong first. Let him say it first. Isn't that what we do with our kids? I was justified in the way I treated my kids because they did this. You know, and many times our kids do something and then it's the way we respond that's wrong. And we have to go back and say, you know what? What you did was wrong. And I'm not justifying what you did. But you know what? Dad was wrong in the way I handled that. That wasn't right the way I talked to you. That wasn't right what I said. Men of humility. Number three. When our kids look at us, may they see men of faith. Men of faith. This really speaks to my heart. We're going to use our imagination. We're going to put on our imagination caps here in a minute. And we're going to imagine what happened that day, all right? Can you do that? I want you to imagine, these are real stories, guys. Look, this stuff really happened. These are real people in real time. And I want you to know this isn't just fiction. This is real stuff. And this dad, Jairus is his name, he is at the bedside of his little girl. Imagine the keyboard here is the bed, and his little girl's there, probably non-responsive, because the Bible says she lay a dying, and then she ultimately ends up dying within a few minutes. So she's very, very sick. I'm sure she's non-responsive. And so he's kneeling down here, and he overhears someone talking about this man Jesus being in town. His antennas go up. And this dad's heard about this guy. But you know what? Think about what he's going through in his mind. What if I go? What are people going to think? I'm leaving my dying daughter here. If I leave, what will people think of me? What if I find Jesus in town, but he won't come back with me? What if I find him and he will come back, but it doesn't do any good? You know these things are rolling through his mind, right? By faith, Jairus leaves the bedside of his dying daughter. He seeks after Christ, believing that if he can just get a hold of Jesus, that Jesus can make a difference in his little girl's life. And I don't know about you, but I kind of imagine things, you know. And I can imagine he's kneeling here like this, and they're just distraught, and his wife's probably crying, and he's probably crying. And all of a sudden, he hears of Jesus, and he gets up, and he goes to leave. And his wife's probably like, "What are you doing? Where are you going? You cannot leave. She's about to die. You cannot leave our dying daughter right now." And Jairus says, "I am sorry. I've got somewhere I have got to go. I'll be back." And he leaves that room and he leaves that house and he darts out into the streets and he starts looking around and he darts off this way to try to go find Jesus Christ and bring him back to the house. I think, man, what a man of faith. This guy, man, is an amazing dad. He wasn't playing religion. He wasn't playing church. This guy had a living faith. He fell at the feet of Jesus in faith, knowing that Jesus could fix what was broken. Faith that went against reason. Faith that went against science and nature. Faith that went against his religious superiors at the synagogue who opposed Christ in his ministry. His superiors at work, they thought Christ was a fraud. They thought he was a troublemaker. But Jairus was his own man, and Jairus believed. And my, how his faith was tested. Look at verse 49. "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master.'" And I want you to notice what Jesus says in response to that news. Look at verse 50. "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Fear not, believe only.'" Four words. Say that with me. Fear not, believe only. Four words. Fear not, believe only. Hey, fear and faith are antonyms. They're opposites. They're oil and water. They don't mix. Fear and faith cannot reside in the same heart. Don't you know that this man's heart sunk when he received the news that his precious little daughter was dead? And he could have hung his head, and he could have just looked at Jesus and said, "Oh, just forget it." And he could have walked off. But Jesus challenged him to take his faith even deeper. And he said, "Fear not, believe only, and your daughter will be made whole." And so this man is courageous. This man says, "Okay, Jesus, I believe you." And he takes Jesus to the house. He walks him right into the house. He walks him right into his little girl's bedroom. And when he gets there and people realize what's going on, people laughed right in his face. How cruel. This guy's just lost his little girl, and they laugh in his face, and they laugh in the face of Jesus, but his faith never wavered. When this little girl opened up her eyes, she saw her dad, a man of real and genuine faith, a faith that made all the difference in the world for his little girl. Dads, what do our kids see when they look at us? Do they see a man with a deep and an abiding faith? Do they see a dad who leads the family in worship? Do they see a dad who leads the family to believe God's word? Do they see a dad who leads the way to church to learn and grow closer to Jesus? The Bible says very clearly, and by the way, there's no perfect dads. And what I'm saying is overall, you're going to mess up. You're not going to be perfect. You know, listen, don't beat yourself up for your past. There's nothing you can do about the past. You cannot change one thing from your past. But aren't you glad, praise God, we can do something about today. Amen, church? And you know what? You could be a man of faith today. You can say, you know what? I'm going to be courageous. God's calling me to be strong. God's not calling me to be this world's puppet. God's not calling me to be Satan's pawn anymore. And I can be a courageous man of God. And I can be a man of faith like this man, Jairus. I can be a man of prayer. I can be a man of humility and humble myself. When I need to humble myself, I'm going to humble myself. And we can say, you know, I can't do anything about the past. May have messed up. But you know what? I can do something about today. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Men of faith are men of commitment. They're committed to Jesus. They're committed to his word. They're committed to doing things God's way, even in the face of pressure, opposition, and even ridicule. Not that we'll always succeed doing things God's way, but that's our heart. That's our desire. And some of you men, you get on fire for the Lord and you decide you're all out, you're all in for Jesus, and you decide you're not going to be some kind of 80-20 guy anymore. You're going to be 100% sold out to Jesus Christ. There's going to be opposition. There may be ridicule. It may come from within your own home. And many times that happens where, you know, the man gets on fire for the Lord and the wife isn't so sure she wanted this much commitment, you know. I wanted a husband to go to church with me, but I didn't want this much commitment, you know. And there may be opposition right there within your own home. But Jairus was a man of faith. He was committed to doing what Jesus said to do. He was committed to his little girl. And when our kids look at us, do they see men of faith? Do they see men of humility? Do they see men of prayer? And finally, number four, last thing is this. We want them to see men of action. Men of action. Jairus was not content to sit by and just let things be. Can I just submit to you, it would have been a whole lot easier for him. There would have been a lot less internal struggle if this man would have just stayed there by the bedside and never moved. But he said, I am not going to just take what comes. He vowed to make a difference. He was a man of action. Dads, are there things that you want to see Jesus do in your child's life? I do. Are there things that you want to see Jesus do in your kid's life? Your kid may be 30 years old. Are there things you want to see Jesus do in his life? Are there things that you want to see Jesus do in the life of your daughter? Listen, maybe there are some things in your child's life that are bothering you. There's just some things in your child's life that you look at and you think, this just isn't good. This isn't good. Maybe there's things in your child's life that you're just disappointed about, or maybe devastated by how some things have gone with your child. You've got to determine to be a man of action. Run to Jesus for help. Believe that he can make a difference in your child's life. Intercede. Stand in the gap. The Bible says if you're going to do something, do it now. The Bible says in James 4:13, go now, you that say today or tomorrow. He says, no, you go now. Do it now, right now. Get with it. Not next week, not next month. Do it now. And in your handout, it says that Jairus went to Jesus and he had the courage to make things happen. Now, I know very well that without Jesus, this girl would have never been raised up. Who's the only person that can raise up somebody from the dead? Jesus. So without Jesus, this little girl never has any life. But I'm going to tell you this. There's more to the story than just that. Because Jesus is the only one that could give her life. But if it was not for this dad that would have gone, that went and he got Jesus and he brought him to the house, that little girl would have been dead. And it's like Jesus loved it, man. It's like Jesus saw this guy, and Jesus just like, Jesus was a man's man. He was not weak. Some of the pictures and the things you see of Jesus are so wrong. He was a carpenter. He was a man's man. He was tough. Jesus was tough as nails, right? He was tough as nails. He was tough. Jesus Christ was he was compassionate, but he was strong. He was strong. And I think when Jesus saw this man, this ruler, that just humbled himself, interceded for his daughter, and even in the face of your daughter's dead, he believes Jesus and takes him to the house. I think Jesus saw it and it's like, man, Jesus just loved this guy. He loved it. And Jesus says, let's go. Let's do it. And he goes with him and he raises this young girl back to life. He said, maid, arise. And this once dead girl opens up her eyes like this. And she sees her father with new eyes. She saw a man of prayer, a man of humility, a man of faith, and thank God, a man of action. And that's what we should want our kids to see in us. And you know what? Some of you guys may be in here thinking, hey, man, I already blew it. I raised my kids. Pastor Dan, I made so many mistakes. I didn't really even know the Lord. And you know what? My kids, I messed up so bad raising them up. I blew it, Pastor Dan. Let me tell you something. Let me encourage you. It's never too late. Until there is no pulse left in your body, it's never too late. Amen, church? It's never too late. It's never too late. Till there's no pulse left in you, it's never too late. You can let your kids know that you're a different man. You can let them know you love Jesus now. You can let them know you're praying for them. You can let your kids know you love them. If you're a senior citizen, listen, this can be some of the best years of your life in regards to your children. It could be some of the best years of your life. You may have to mend some fences. You may have to admit to some mistakes, but they can view you differently than they have ever viewed you before. You can start fresh today. Isn't that great news? You can start fresh today being that man of God. In your handout, it says, though, this question. Are you willing to put yourself aside and place Jesus number one in your life? That's the key question. Are you willing to put yourself aside and put Jesus number one? Isn't this a great story about this dad, church? Amen. It's a great story about a great dad, huh? What a challenge to me. I've had this message prepared for weeks. I couldn't wait to preach it because this dad was quite an amazing guy. And hey, he was just a man though. We can be the same way. We can be men of faith like him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.